Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Glad that you're here today. And next week is the anniversary, is our 34th anniversary as a church. We celebrate next Sunday, the 20th. Yeah, come on, give God praise. Don't be hesitant. For those of you who haven't been to church before, we don't golf clap here. You know what golf clap is? That's where everybody politely goes. We don't putter around either anyway, so that teased me off anyway, and people just do that. So anyway, we're glad that you're here, and add my welcome. We've been in a series this month called There's a Healer in the House, and that's why we're getting a little resistance. It's okay. When you're proclaiming the word, that word is what's coming into the room, and the enemy will always try to set little landmines against it, but we're going to press through anyway. And it's really dependent on you. It's dependent on those who hunger and thirst will be filled. Those who sit back and say, I'm full, don't get anything more. I like Pastor Chris's analogy about seconds and thirds. He didn't say thirds, but I thought of thirds. I know what my wife made for dinner this afternoon. Anyway, it is exciting to be together. So today's message, as I said earlier, we're calling it Healing in the Atmosphere. Last week was the language of healing. This week's called Healing in the Atmosphere. I'm beginning with a passage, a powerful passage from Luke chapter 5, where it says some interesting things it doesn't say other places. And I want you to see this, and then I'm going to weave in 2 Corinthians 3 from the Amplified. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 says, Now it happened on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who'd come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. That's the active phrase for the day. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. How many know that God has his omnipresence, which he's everywhere at once, but his manifested presence for healing only happens in a certain atmosphere? It wasn't just because Jesus was there, and I'll prove it to you in a few moments, but God's miracle power was prevalent. It was actively moving where they were. Then behold, verse 18 says, Men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop. Up on the housetop. No reindeer. They went up on the housetop, and they let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. And you thought you had good friends. When he saw their faith, he said to him, the man, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know. And the word know there is not get a mental assent. The word know there, so that you can experience this for yourself in this presence where the healing is released and active and moving. So you can experience that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who's paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately, he rose up before them, took up what he'd been lying on. I don't have time to preach on that one, but sometimes you got to take up what you've been laying on for a while, and you got to turn it around. He took up what he'd been lying on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. I want to weave in this verse from the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. One person said to me one time, you could say it like this: where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. Let's pray one more time. Father God, would you open the eyes of our heart today to give us revelation, knowledge, understanding, to experience as the people of old experienced that power that was present to heal. We know, Holy Spirit, you are present now to bring that same manifestation of healing into this place. And we invite you to do it. Come and move here and change us from the inside out in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Last week we talked about the language of healing. Healing has a language. There's a language. You want your home to be healed. You want healing to be in your home. You want your family to walk in healing and wholeness. You've got to walk in a different language than the world is using these days. You've got to have a different way of agreeing with God and setting your heart for Him, believing Him. Watch your language. Second service, I didn't even get to finish last week because we went into ministry time. But I want to say this to you and to them. I did get it here first service. But whatever you call something, according to the Word of God in Genesis, whatever you call something is what it becomes named. Adam, God brought all the animals before Adam and waited to see what Adam would call them. That's partnership. Yes, we believe in the sovereignty of God, but we believe that God has sovereignly chosen to give man free will and choice and an active partnership in everything that happens on the earth. If the world was in a mess, it's not God's fault. If the world was in a mess, and it is at times, let me tell you something, it's the mismanagement of humanity. You can't blame the angels, and you can't blame the devil. The Church of Jesus has been given the keys of the kingdom. And we've got to rise up and begin to call things what God calls them, or call them what is in agreement with His Word, and then that's what they're named, right? We said, be careful if you call your spouse some name, don't be surprised when they become that, because you called it. Give God room to move, because love always wins. Now, I want to begin today with this statement. Every home has an atmosphere. It has a spiritual culture. Every home, every house, every household. Your house has a different culture than my house. My house has a different culture than somebody else's house. We all have a different way we set it, but culture is there. There's either peace, unity, godliness, or there's strife, anger, and bitterness. There's prevailing climate. Your home has a climate even under the roof, not just outside. Every household has a prevailing climate. You ever walked into a room and you see friends that are standing there and you realize you've interrupted something? There's just an icy cold chill in the air. You can sense that they were just arguing before you came in, or something happened before you came in. You're like, did I interrupt something? How do you know that? Because there's an atmosphere. There's a spiritual atmosphere everywhere you go. And you can, if you have your discernment on, the Holy Spirit will kind of show you at times, you know, little things, and you kind of have a way to deal with it. But that is a spiritual atmosphere. It reveals chaos from time to time. It reveals order sometimes, or reveals somewhere in between, which is what most houses are in right now. What is a spiritual climate? A healthy spiritual climate is that atmosphere in which the Holy Spirit's power and presence saturates. Say that with me, saturates. Saturates hearts and minds and makes what otherwise would be difficult and unnatural both easy and natural. There is a flow of the Holy Spirit, and everything that Jesus did, does, and will do is active in the room where His presence is revealed, where His presence is welcomed. There is a spiritual atmosphere, there's a flow. So let me read it again. A healthy spiritual climate is that atmosphere in which the Holy Spirit's power and presence saturates hearts and makes what otherwise would be difficult and unnatural both easy and natural. That's what we want at church, but that's also what we want for you in your home. Thank you for that overwhelming response. Pastor Chris gave an amen. Thank you. One of the joys of working with my pastor, Benny Hinn, years ago as a youth pastor back in the 80s, until he sent us out May 1st of 1990, 34 years ago next week, is that being around him, you know, we learned more. I learned a lot on the platform, but I learned a lot more behind the scenes. And one of the things that he would say, people would say, I'm so glad, you know, how did you develop this gift of healing, this working of miracles? He would say, I don't believe I have the gift of healing. And we just, everybody kind of look at him like, what do you mean? He said, no, the gift that I have is to get a corporate meeting of whatever number it is and get people to stop focusing on themselves and to really be enthralled with Jesus. Because in that atmosphere, anything is possible and anything can happen. And I never forgot that. What a to get everyone to unite around honoring Jesus and worshiping him is the key to healing and miracles. To forget about your needs for long enough to lift him up. We used to sing in those healing services, I anticipate the inevitable supernatural intervention of God. I expect a miracle. And we would sing it because we were anticipating that in that atmosphere something would happen. And invariably, every week, every time we were together, there was this electricity in the air. This sense of joy. Somebody asked me one time, what do you feel when you feel that presence of God? When you say you feel the presence of God, or you feel an atmosphere of God, or you sense the glory of God working in the room, the anointing we call it. Somebody says, what do you feel? I would just say like this. I always sense it's like love just walked in the room. It's like all the frustrations with the train and all the stuff and all the stuff going on in life just kind of fades away for a second, and all of a sudden it's like this tangible love just gets on you. That's what the presence of God feels like. And as long as you're consumed with everything else going around, it's so subtle you might miss it. In our text today, something is written in the Word, declared by God Himself, that wasn't declared hardly any other place in Scripture, and that is that in this presence that day, in this home that Jesus came to, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Later on in the book of Acts, Paul recognizes that and says, oh, and I noticed that the power of God was present to heal. And the Bible says he saw faith. Jesus in this scripture said he saw faith. He saw faith in the room. He felt it. He knew it was there. Another time, though, when Jesus went to his hometown to minister to his people at his hometown, they were offended with him, the Bible says, saying, isn't that the carpenter's son? Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 5. It says this, now Jesus, he could do no mighty work there. It doesn't say he would not. It says he could not do any mighty work there. He could do no mighty work there except that, thank God, in Jesus' rough day, he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Even when Jesus was having the atmosphere problem, he's Jesus, right? But it shows you right there, even fully God, fully man, he was limited by people. Look what it says, verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages. See what happens just like here. We send people to the villages. He went to the villages in a circuit teaching. So Jesus was there, and he left and went to the villages to heal some people. Lord knows they needed it in the villages. Amen. Any village people here today? Hey, 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 hey. Anyway, sorry. My last name finishes with chief. Listen, the atmosphere of familiarity, disrespect, and unbelief limited the flow of Jesus 2,000 years ago, and limits the presence of Jesus today. If you're going to get all familiar, if you're going to get all, you know, looking at lights and looking at stuff and just kind of looking at people and feeling what you feel, whatever else, you're missing the whole point. Familiarity, offenses. The Bible says the people were offended with him just because they knew, well, that's the car, not that carpenter's boy from up there in Zuber. Yeah, but he's not operating just as the carpenter's son right now, but the architect of the whole universe's son. And they missed it. Everyone carries some type of spiritual atmosphere. Everybody. I don't care who you are. Everybody carries some type of spiritual atmosphere. Like, I always compare it to like Pigpen from Charlie Brown. You know, he's just kind of, there's just always this cloud around him. You know, he walks in and everybody just kind of knows, well, there's Pigpen, he needs another shower. Even one person can quirk a room. Even one person can quirk an atmosphere. Even one person can quirk a home. Thankfully, greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world, but we have to power through sometimes. We have to take our authority sometimes and say, no, not in my house, not under my roof. That's why you got the not under my roof speech from your parents so often. Because not under my roof is the way of saying, hey, I set the tone here. We set the pace. You don't come in here with your drama and your trauma and disrupt. We have a flow here, and we're not flowing with your flow. We're flowing with the flow of God in this house, right? People are either open or closed to the anointing. I say it this way. People have signs on them in the spirit realm. Welcome God or close no vacancy. And God, why would, you know, this week the Jewish people are celebrating Passover, okay? 8 days of Passover. The Passover, what did God say? He said, bring all the people into a house that you consider part of your household. The Bible says they brought servants. They had foreigners. They had Egyptians that actually came under the roof and left with them. But when they did, they had to draw this line in the sand, then this line at the doorpost, and then they covered the doorpost with the blood of a perfect lamb. And when the destroyer came that night to destroy the firstborn of all the Egyptians, every household where the blood was applied, the destroyer could not get in. He had to pass over. That's what I call Passover. That principle still exists today. Under your house, under your home, if you're covered in that precious, spotless blood of Jesus Christ, the enemy has no legal right to enter your house or to bring division or strife or anything else. And when you sense it, you have to do something about it. You have power. You have authority. You're not a victim here. Within the household, the home, the family, these individual atmospheres meld or create tension. I was listening to a podcast recently by a Dr. Meg Meeker. She's a Christian pediatrician and author from Upper Michigan somewhere. And a powerful lady, and she's been working with children as a medical doctor for like almost 40 years. And they asked, in this podcast, they asked her, what's your number one concern for kids right now in your medical practice? And without hesitation, she said, the amount of depression and anxiety that I'm dealing with. The amount of depression and anxiety. They said, well, to what do you attribute that? She said, there is so much pressure right now, especially in public school, but it's coming from every avenue, but especially public school, so much pressure to hyper-focus on sexuality and gender identity issues. She said, no longer is it just in high school or middle school, but now elementary school is trying to bring perverted sexualization of children, and they're being bombarded at every hand. Now even preschool cartoons on your television contains some of this cultural confusion, deception, and perversion. And you have to be the gatekeeper. You have to be the one that watches. The great promise of God is that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. But those seeds, she said, these children are carrying so much way before they should even consider these issues. She said, when she goes and speaks to high school students, she says, you know what, let's get past all these what you are and what you think and what you feel, and let's talk about you, the person, as an individual. And she said she gets standing ovations from students who are under such pressure because they're constantly being bombarded with this stuff. Well, who you are? Well, let me tell you who I think you are. What about this? What about that? No. We go with the Word. We trust God. Her suggestion is help kids to simplify to primary personal identity in the image of God. You are created and you're here for a reason and you're here for a purpose, and it's not based on all this other nonsense. That's all lies, deceptions, and smoke screens, especially when you talk about it too young. Thank you. Three people excited about the Word. I know this isn't Bible here, but this is really important because these principles are in the Bible. Listen, sex within context of covenant is part of God's blessing, but not your whole identity. Let me say it again. I think that needs to be said again. Sex within context of covenant is part of God's blessing. But it's not your whole being. It's not who you are. One thing for sure, most families, she said, feel like they're always in a rush. And I've found this more and more with our own people, in our own community, in our own church. Most families feel like they're always in a rush. Lack of time management creates high stress time pressure. When you don't have a plan, you just run from thing to thing. And that's where we talked about it last week. Mom guilt. This Dr. Meg Meeker said she's dealing so much. She said she primarily deals with moms, but she deals with dads too. But she deals primarily with moms and mom guilt with all of the women in the workplace and that kind of thing. That's great. But let me say this to you. We now have more heart attacks in women than we've ever had. Why? Because they're under more pressure than they've ever been. Why? Because now they're looking for perfection at work and still trying to be the perfect parent. And they feel like they're not measuring up, not ticking off all the boxes. One thing I heard that really hit me is this. You can't outsource quality time. In America, we're famous for outsourcing, right? I mean, I tried my banker the other day, and I got somebody in Bangladesh. Not against that, but I think we're looking for the cheapest thing, so we're always outsourcing. Don't outsource your parenting, moms and dads. It is the highest call of God, and it's gone in a heartbeat. It's gone in a heartbeat. In a couple of weeks, my oldest grandson, Cole, is going to be 15. He's now been taking driving lessons here at the church on the property. This is where, by the way, this is the parking lot where I taught both of my kids to drive when they were young. It's a long time ago now. And now they're teaching their kids to drive here. And I love that. But it's like, what happened? He was just a little, he was our baby boy. Now we got five grandkids. And the youngest is almost 4. And he's going to be 15. And he's as tall as I am. And I'm just looking at him thinking, what in the world? How did this happen so fast? And yet in the day-to-day, we get under the pressure, so we just rush through, we just go through here, we go through the motions, we run here, we run there. This is what this other person said, can't outsource quality time to TV, friends, or devices. What your kids will remember 20 years, 30 years from now is the memories you made with them in the simplest, mundane things where you took time to set everything else down and to turn everything else off and to be with them. That's what they remember. I'm serious. Yeah, give God praise. That is exactly right. And this is a word for some people. Stop being so guilty that you're just getting caught up in the rat race. And the problem with the rat race is, even if you win, you're just the best rat. Peel back the layers of being a good parent to enjoy family life. Peel back the layers. Simplify. We say around here, simplify to strengthen. This lady doctor said, make a goal and spend an extra 15 minutes a day just being with each child. 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day will make a huge difference over the course of their lifetime. Choose one extracurricular activity for after school, she said. She said, parents feel they need right now to get their kids into everything, to find their gifting and their talents, thinking they're going to compete for college scholarships for everything. And they feel guilty if they don't have them in gymnastics one day and music lessons the next day. And